I invite you now to hear words that come to us from the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us be on our way.
Established in 1936, when the world was deeply fragmented by the conflict that would later be known as World War II, World Communion Sunday, originally called Worldwide Communion Sunday, has been the observance to help Christians all over the world affirm their unity in Jesus Christ as it is expressed so beautifully at the Lord's table. Originating in the Presbyterian Church in 1936, the idea of World Communion Sunday was embraced and promoted by the Federal Council of Churches, which is now known as the National Council of Churches, in 1940, in the midst of the war. Other denominations, including the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, right down the street, and the predecessor denominations of the United Church of Christ, join the annual witness to Christian unity, which takes place on the first Sunday in October. Now, those Christians who started Communion Sunday saw the table of the Lord as a place where the wounds of Christendom, many of the results of the brutal war, could begin to find healing. And at the Lord's table, Christians all in all nations of many ethnicities and languages could remember their kinship in Christ and be encouraged to be more fully as brothers and sisters in God's family. What a remarkable vision. Those are the words of John P. Mobley, a regional minister in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. One of the gifts that I have received while serving in two Christian churches, Disciples of Christ congregations, was the gift of the table. You see, many of the Disciples of Christ congregations have a communion table rather than an altar. Communion is part of worship whenever two or three disciples gather, they say. The communion table is not only the place of sacrament and ritual, it is a place of unity and welcome. It is a focal point as is the cross that is central to the faith, to the beliefs, and to the ministry of a disciples' congregation. In a denomination that confesses no creed but Christ, the table, the place where this most sacred meal is served, is administered by both laity and clergy. It is an integral part of worship and the life of the congregation. It's Maundy Thursday, 2011. Communion is being served around two tables by intinction with folks serving each other. Now, as the cup and the bread is passed around the table, each person is serving the next, and words are being spoken. This is the body. This is the blood. And I stand at those tables, and I am struck by the beauty of children serving adults, and grandparents serving grandchildren, and strangers serving strangers, and family members serving family members, and friends serving friends. In the good times and the bad times, the table is always the focus. And when there is harmony and when there is conflict, the table is the focus. It is a place of coming together. There was a recent regional assembly, the Disciples of Christ, I think it might have been in Nashville. And it's like our General Synod. Everybody gets together and they do the work and business and worship of the church. Even though that was a divisive gathering around some criteria of ordination, an important part of the message during the whole meeting, particularly in worship, was the focus on the table as a place of harmony, of welcome, and of cohesiveness. Now, for the United Church of Christ, whose predecessor denominations were early participants in World Communion Sunday, the table, the sacrament of Holy Communion, is also a place of welcome and harmony. Now, while we do not focus on communion in the manner of our disciples, brothers, and sisters, nevertheless, to come to the table is a place that requires preparation and calls us to gather with friends and family, strangers and enemies. And while we do not share a meal as often as our disciples, brothers and sisters, this meal of unity and nourishment and welcome is so important to who we are. One of the taglines, as you know, of the United Church of Christ is, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. These words of extravagant welcome define our ministry. These words of extravagant welcome bring an amazing focus on worship, on ministry, and on the table. These words of extravagant welcome are for friend, relatives, as well as stranger. These words of extravagant welcome supersede whatever conflict or differences there may be. And so it was with Jesus. When Jesus speaks to his disciples in our gospel lesson, he knows what is about to happen. He is to be betrayed, tried, and put to death. He is to suffer the unbearable ways. What then does he leave his disciples? Does he prepare them to seek revenge for his death? Does he prepare them for a great insurrection as they are to rally behind his martyrdom death? No. He leaves them peace. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." So he shares this meal, and we know what happens afterwards. Nailed to a cross, laid into a tomb, to be raised again in 3 days. And for the early church, it was important to not only understand the gospel of resurrection, but to understand the importance of this meal. In the early church, when missionaries like Paul would go out and start churches, it was an important part of the message was understanding the meal, the table. And so Paul, in his first letter to Corinthians, in the 11th chapter, says these words, "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Paul is trying to help the church to understand the importance of this meal. And Paul establishes that we come to the table because Jesus told us to. Paul tells the church in Corinth the way it was. One night when he was betrayed, he took the loaf. And James Sanders writes, "It was on the night in which we betrayed him that he broke bread and gave it to us." God's grace is expressed in the midst of our sin. Let me say that again. God's grace is expressed in the midst of our sin. We know that God comes to us in our act of betrayal. And Sanders goes on to write, he says, "This was our night, the night the church was conceived. We were all there, 12 of us, seated about the table. I know for certainty that because Judas was there, that I'm not excluded. What if he was not present? Then that bread would not have been for me." The table is a powerful vehicle of the Spirit of Christ among us, the Spirit of grace and mercy, love and forgiveness. Jesus wanted for his disciples that this meal, that the table, would be a place of grace, of forgiveness, of welcome, of community and nurture, identity and focus. And Jesus wants for us a place of grace and forgiveness and welcome, of community and nurture, identity, and focus. And so as we gather at the table, we share the meal with loved ones and strangers, with opponents and friends, with brothers and sisters in the faith. We gather at a table that we share a meal with fellow Christians around the world. Can you imagine a table that stretches 25,000 miles around the world? Those who break the common loaf and drink the common cup, those who confess their love for Jesus and those who confess their love for their Savior, and those who come to the table today, as do we.